Hello, and welcome to the HBO Boys podcast. Today, we're talking about Masters of the Prison Camp.
Listen, we go back into the air.
Oh.
Kind of.
Okay. We're going to talk about a few other things, a few like trailers that we saw. We'll hit on Avatar The Last Airbender live action series on Netflix. I watched the end of Death and Other Details. I believe I'm the only one on Earth. And Adam watched like a trailer about Fallout. So like that's pretty sick too. And yeah. All of that will happen and more on this week's episode.
Do we have an intro now?
Of the HBO Boys podcast.
Wow.
That was an intro.
It was a good intro.
Shut up.
That's very off format for us,
though. Yeah.
This week's episode of the HBO Boys podcast.
Yeah, right. That is the trailer before the trailer. It's the thing that we don't
know. Oh, God, I hate it. Yeah, maybe that's why it felt weird to me.
Get ready for the trailer that you're already watching.
Trailer starts now.
HBO Boys starts now.
Well, instead of prolonging it, let's actually start.
Now.
Okay, man. We just like teasing it.
Okay, I haven't watched this Fallout trailer. Can I watch it live for you?
It's a little long.
Okay, then I've stopped it.
It's like three minutes long.
I've exited out of it, and I'm going to turn off my computer.
It is, yeah. Oh, we've lost Ryan. It is the extended trailer, like the full trailer. The one that was first released was just the teaser.
Okay, so my idea is bad. Tell me how it happens.
Yeah, so so it just goes into a little bit more, obviously, detail on what the show is going to be like. But this time, the full trailer had a very, like, somber feel to it. It definitely had a more, you are in a post-apocalyptic world. Not everything is happy and fun or funny.
I see Walter Goggs.
Well, the first trailer was kind of like a comedic spin on it, which, yeah. I mean, that does exist in the games. But no, this was definitely like the feeling you get the first time you leave the vault, the first time you play the game. It's just like, whoa. And everything that I saw in that trailer was really good. And I know you're not super psyched for it or think it's going to totally fail, which it very well could still.
Oh,
but
I don't know if it's going to fail.
It really looks great. It really looks great. They've been doing it justice. Walter Goggins is going to be such a good ghoul. Oh my God. It's great. I think it's going to be good.
I don't think it's going to fail.
Okay.
I just think it's going to be bad. That's different.
Well, I mean,
also, you know what?
Don't those go hand in hand?
I'm going to be honest with you. I yeah. kind of hope it's bad.
Why?
Because Westworld died for this. Okay.
Yeah. But guess what? This is probably going to be better. It definitely appeals to a wider audience.
That's worse. Why did you think you would say that? And I'd be like, you're right. I feel better about this now.
I know that's what this entire podcast was based off of, but
yeah. We wouldn't even be here. No, whatever. I'm living in a false fantasy world where like season 3 of Westworld wasn't also not good. So yeah. This didn't kill Westworld. Jonah and Lisa killed Westworld. And then they were like, well, I guess we just do Fallout, but like try harder. How dare you?
Yeah, I mean, so the only thing that makes me nervous about this is, you know how, sometimes in games, things, they try to reflect something that's real in real life, like a real, you know, the Vault Dweller's outfit is a good example. Like, it's bright blue with yellow trim, and like, in the game, it's like, oh yeah, someone could be wearing that jumpsuit for real, but when they transition it to a live action, like, I feel like some of the stuff may feel cheesy, kind of like the same feeling I got when they released that first look of the Snow White and the Seven Dwarves remake what? Where it's literally like a one-to-one of the animated Snow White's outfit, and it looks like a Halloween costume. Like, that's, I got that vibe a little bit, but I think it, with some color grading, you know, and some film effects, it potentially could be overcome. But that's really the only negative thing I have to say.
I'm going to push back on that, Adam. Okay.
Okay. Do it. Do it.
Wolverine looks like Wolverine. Deadpool looks like Deadpool. We've had 10 to 15 years of characters looking the way they did in their source material. And if you lean into it hard enough, and if you don't take yourself too seriously while trying to make, and while simultaneously making a serious effort to make something really cool, then I think you can pull it off. It just, it requires, they're going to be wearing blue. In a
like bright blue,
in a,
which I mean, that's what happens wasteland. In the game too. But it just, I think it's maybe my initial reaction to it is like, oh, that's like almost too accurate. I don't know.
Yeah. Do you think they're gonna do the thing where Mario and Luigi's voice was the way their voices were for the first 5 minutes, and then they were like, anyway.
Yeah. Then she falls down a cliff and it looks all raggedy.
Right. And she's like, I guess I wear something else.
Yeah, I mean, you pick up different armor in the game, so it makes sense. But I don't know. There's just something about it that feels too clean, too shiny. The power armor that they showed for the Brotherhood of Steel, I got that vibe a tiny bit. But I don't know. We'll just have to see when it comes out. But that's really the only thing that I was like, okay, but whatever. Like, that's kind of my thought around it.
Right. Also, we would be talking a lot about Dune right now, but we don't have to because we did an entire episode earlier this week on Dune, and it's up on the main channel. So if you want to go listen to that, don't do it right now. Keep listening to this. But if you want to do that, you can also go listen to our hour-long podcast about Dune BT Dubs. So yeah, let's go from Fallout, and I'll cover very quickly the shows that I'm watching, because I don't have to spend a lot of time on them. One is Death and Other Details. I said a few times it's on Hulu, and I really, really liked it. I saw it at the end. Saw the end of it. Don't watch it. Don't watch it. Don't start it. The end is so bad that it ruins the whole show.
Really?
Which is a bummer, because like, they visually are doing things that are really cool. They're narratively doing things that I think are like kind of bold and leaning into being a little weird, which I always really like. And it's a cool show for a lot of it. And then the last two episodes are just awful. And the main character is annoying. It's like Piper in Orange is the New Black. Like,
oh, yes.
Where you're like, why is the worst character the one I'm seeing the most?
That's a bummer that the last two episodes ruined the entire show.
Well, I mean,
I don't think that's ever happened for me.
I mean, it's happened. People say that all the time, like about Game of Thrones. Like, how about they say that the last two seasons ruined the entire show for them, which I always push back on because those are seasons of eight, and it's a long show with some of the best episodes, personally for me, in television history. Death and Other Details doesn't get that benefit of the doubt. So I don't think anybody should waste their time. Yeah, it was a whodunit. And yeah, it was a mystery. And honestly, I was surprised. I think they did a good job with like what the mystery was, at least in the part of like they hit it well. But it made sense when it happened. But also, it was bad. It's a bad way to do it because of the actual answer. So don't watch that. And I'm a few episodes into Avatar The Last Airbender on Netflix. It is a franchise that I care very much about. I absolutely adored the original cartoon. I didn't like Legend of Korra as much because the main character was bad, in my opinion. I don't think Korra is nearly as interesting or cool as Aang is. So it was tough for me to get through. And then I saw the movie made by M. Night Shyamalan, and it was one of the worst movies ever made.
Really?
And I think that's I would be a person who doesn't know Avatar The Last Airbender would say yeah. that, and a person who loves the show like I do is to, it would, I think, categorize it as a complete abomination.
No.
Here's the only thing you have to know about that movie.
Yeah.
In the cartoon, the main character's name is Aang. You know how I know
spell that?
A-A-N-G.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you know how I know that his name is Aang? They say it
yeah.
a lot, all the time, pretty much every episode. Within the first 5 minutes in the movie,
yeah,
they say his name.
Yeah.
Aang.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I really loved that adaption of James Bond where they called him James Burned.
Or James Burned.
Such a good one.
James Burned.
Golden Eye featuring James Burned.
And James Burned.
And I alluded to this slightly because we talked about Avatar The Last Airbender a little bit during the Dune podcast, but I alluded to this slightly. There's like an inside joke in the Avatar The Last Airbender community where in the cartoon, there's an entire episode where there's like a place characters go to forget everything, or they are perhaps dragged down and forced to forget things.
Yeah.
And that's where the community of Avatar places the movie. So if you bring it up like on the official Avatar Discord, people will be like, what are you talking about?
Oh, no.
They pretend it doesn't exist.
I have no idea. Yeah, sure.
A really neat inside joke. I like that's it very funny. Much.
I didn't even know that they made a movie for that.
Good.
I thought that the show was like the first foray into live action that IP ever saw.
It is. So
that's interesting. Yeah, I got you. Now, I have a question because
I love that.
I've seen things on TikTok and social media about the live action show.
Yeah.
And they compare scenes one to one. And there was one where Aang has, I just wanted to make sure I didn't say Aang.
You got
because
it.
Because I second guessed it for a second.
I respect that.
So Aang is learning his air bending abilities, and he's like rolling around on a ball of air, and then he smashes into a statue.
Yeah.
And people were saying like, well, why does it look like a dust ball? And I'm thinking like, well, you can't really see air, but so like, that's kind of the way they do it, right? For live action. But did you feel that because it's coming from like an animated thing, like, did you feel like they did a good job at making it not seem over the top like Cowboy Bebop was, where it was like, you can't do that on live action?
The main character of Avatar The Last Airbender is a little boy covered in tattoos, wearing bright orange, and he rides a large sky bison. He has a pet and slash friend monkey. And sometimes he rides around on a ball of air. Okay.
So that's what I mean. Like,
this is
was that insane in live action?
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
I think it's an apt comparison with Cowboy Bebop. One Piece, in fact, where both of them are a bit zany.
Yeah, that's a good word, zany.
You have to not cross that line to cringe.
Yeah.
And I think they did a good job. Where the show is lacking is in its acting. And the acting isn't terrible. It just feels as though it could be better. But I will also say, like, once I got to episode 2 or 3, I stopped. It was way less apparent that my initial reaction was the kid kind of is bad.
Oh.
And
he's a kid.
So. And the guy who plays Sokka is kind of bad. Girl who plays Katara is really good. But like, am I going to? And then over time, I just sort of got used to it. And yeah, you can use but he's a kid. Nah, dude, I've seen child actors absolutely kill it.
You're right. You're right. Yeah.
Okay.
And did they release the whole series yet, or is it a week to week?
They released half. And then they're going to release the second half. So I have not even been able to watch all of the first half, but I'm yearning to do so. And I can't wait to continue So I, as I've said on this podcast a jillion times, I'm an anime novice, but I have watched a bit. And Avatar The Last Airbender, I'm not, by the way, categorizing as anime. It is an American show. It takes heavy inspiration from anime. It's made by two guys who just loved anime their entire lives, and they wanted to make a cartoon that just was more in the spirit of what they love. Yeah. And so, it's just a really, really hard vibe to hit.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, all these animation adaptations, and not just anime, the anime genre, it's a lot of animation converted to live action just isn't being translated well. A couple of them hit it well, so I was hopeful for this because I know you're a big fan. I know nothing about this show, so I can't even comment on it. But, I mean, it looks pretty good from what I see.
It does suffer a little bit from the Netflix soundstageification of a show, right? Yeah. Like, you can tell that they are not on location for a whole lot of it, that green screen is used constantly, and that there's a lot of CGI. Yeah. So, and that's just, you know, they're trying to make it cheaper, and that's fine, because at this point, I like the show and keep making it. I think if you've never watched any of the cartoon, I think it's a show that you give the pilot a shot and see how you feel. Mm. And if you don't like it, stop watching it.
Never. It's funny you say, like, everything's shot on a soundstage to make it cheaper. Netflix is just increasing their subscriptions. It seems quarterly now.
Yeah.
Which is a bummer because it's like $25 a month for me. And the only reason why it's $25 a month is because I have it on multiple screens and I have 4K. The problem with that is that every other streaming service just includes 4K. Why do I have to pay extra for it, Netflix? Why?
Because Netflix has been around longer.
Yeah.
Okay? And
that's true.
And they have more stuff because they've been around forever. I don't know. I think it's a bit disingenuous when people get irked about prices going up. Because everything is simultaneously getting more expensive.
I know.
And obviously, every time they announce that prices are going up, the majority of the audience isn't going to be like, good. I
want to pay more. Yeah. Honestly, do it again.
Tomorrow. Another two. Throw it out.
You know, it's funny. I remember when, and we can get to Masters there. We're getting a little off topic, but like Netflix and all the streaming services used to be like the way to avoid paying for cable, paying for HBO premium television, you know? But now all these streaming services, I mean, I've equaled up my bill and it's way more than what people pay for some cable that sometimes includes it. So I don't even know what to do anymore. I am distraught, Ryan.
Yeah, no, you're fine actually. So here's the other, the thing though.
Yeah.
All the things you just said are true.
Mm.
How much money did you spend last month on ordering food to your house?
How dare you?
Exactly.
How dare you,
I'm not judging you. I probably spent more. I'm just saying.
We do it at least monthly from your house.
I'm just saying. You know what I mean?
No, it's true. And that's another thing that we in our house have looked at is just ordering food out. And we've done more grocery shopping, and it's still, everything is so expensive. You go to the grocery store, it's $180 for six things, and I'm just angry, Ryan.
I know. Good. I'm glad. There's nothing I love more than delicious food being delivered to my face.
I know. I don't want to make it. I just want to put it in my mouth.
It's the best. And Netflix is on the TV whenever I want it. There's a whole lot there too.
Dining course of visuals.
Right. And YouTube is free.
YouTube is free. Although I did get sucked into YouTube Premium for 3 months. Well, no, I haven't paid for it yet. I'm on a 3 month subscription, like a demo subscription.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I gotta say, it's pretty good.
I'll never go back. I haven't seen an ad in a really long time, and now it's just par for the course. I'll never go back.
Enhanced bitrate. There's an enhanced bitrate now. Yeah, it's pretty good. Like, I'll give it to them, but
you're right. But 4K on Netflix though is that's
honestly
BS.
Though, like the fact that you have to pay separately just to get the 4K stream when that's the only one you have to do that to. It's yeah. just, it seems weird. I don't know. But again, it's Netflix. They're like the dirtiest of the streaming services, it feels like.
The dirtiest?
Yeah, they're like the bad boys of the streaming wars. Right?
Oh, tell me more. Tell me more. You know? Yeah. Sandy.
Anyway,
Masters of the Air.
Which is on Apple TV Plus, which is, oh my is God. Fine.
It's fine. Actually, Napoleon just came out. I want to watch it real bad.
Yeah, I saw that too. Yeah, I did see that.
In fact, I might watch it after this. Okay.
Oh, shoot.
Let's talk about part 6 and part 7 of Masters of the Air. So
yeah, part 6 was not much actions going down.
No.
At least I think it was I watched part 6, you know, when it first aired.
Oh, so actually, I will push back on that.
I was going to say the beginning. The beginning was the crazy part.
Yeah, Major crazy. Egan is crazy. On the ground, Masters of the Ground, and he is taken prisoner and then almost dies.
Yeah.
When a group of enraged German citizens.
Oh.
Wasn't that scene
that
so
scene,
scary?
It was scary. It was really upsetting.
It was upsetting.
Where they bring him through the city that they bombed.
Yeah.
And all the citizens, the German citizens, are starting to they see American bomber. Let's riot again. Like, that is my nightmare.
I did like it when the German soldier was like, don't protect them. Just let them get murdered.
Yeah, right. It's good.
By like, I mean, oh, God, how, ooh, no.
No, I think it did its intention. It hit you. Like, that was like really the realization that war is absolutely terrible. If
war's
you didn't
bad.
Know it already.
War's bad. That's war's our stance. Bad.
That's it.
It's not a political show, but I will take that stance boldly. Yeah,
me too, for sure.
War?
Bad.
Not good.
It's not great.
That scene had probably the most realistic and incredibly upsetting person slitting a guy's throat.
Yeah.
I didn't like it one bit.
Yeah, that stuff doesn't bother me. But it was like everything about that scene. Am I a psychopath?
No.
Oh no. But everything about that scene was just really, it was just very real, and it hit home because it's the citizens of the country. Like, no one wants to lose citizens of the country. It's you know, armed forces versus armed forces, right? That's the idea of war. So when people people are killing citizens, we either unintentionally or intentionally, it's really upsetting, and we got to see it, and it's just a bummer.
War's bad. So he gets taken to an interrogation scene, which I thought was really well done. I really liked the guy playing the interrogator. He was really young, and he was taking the "do you want a drink and a cigarette" approach. And Egan was basically just like, "I'm only going to say my name and my serial number."
Yep.
But that scene was really good because when we're dealing with like a character who's trying to be a badass German, you now have to deal with the fact that Christoph Waltz did it, and you'll never be better than him.
Why'd you say that? I honestly didn't like, obviously I know he was played a German soldier, but I didn't like put that in my brain during this.
Yeah,
now
no,
I have.
What I'm saying is this kid was really, really good. And
was good.
I immediately got into the scene like, oof, like, are you trying to be better than the opening scene of Inglourious Basterds right now?
Because it never will happen.
You're not going to do it. But even while Major Egan was being super boring, the other guy was great.
It was really entertaining to watch. No, that was a good one. It showed like a weird like humanity of the opposing team, you know?
Yes.
And
they're also
you see
humans.
That a little bit more. Yeah, you see that a little bit more in episode 7 too, when they're inside the camp. And yeah, it's just an interesting perspective that is rarely shown in war movies or anything like that. It's always German bad, you know? Like,
well, they did do that genocide.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure. Genocide's bad.
That's all. I'll stand on that one, too. That's
okay. I'm glad we're in agreement. Anyway, he gets taken to a camp where they're treated pretty well because it's a prisoner of war camp. and right. Americans are also keeping Germans in their camps. So everyone is kind of playing nice so that their citizens don't die. I will say, though, as he's being taken to the camp, he sees another train.
Oh, very sad.
Oh,
very sad. With the what's the swastika on the front? Like it was a very very heavy moment when that scene happened.
I don't think that train is going to the same place there, you know?
No, it sure wasn't. And that's a bummer.
Okay. So anyway, he gets to meet all of his friends though, and Austin Butler isn't dead.
Why'd it take you so long?
I'm Elvis. Anyway, we'll talk more about them in the next episode because they get into to risky hijinks in part 7. But before we do that, we'll say also Lieutenant Rosenthal and his crew are sent to a country estate for relaxation and counseling because they did 3 missions in 3 days. Rosenthal resists the entire time. And then at the same time, Captain Crosby attends a conference at the University of Oxford where he meets a British ATS officer whom he bonds with. But then she is unexpectedly called away. And at first I was like, okay, these two, he's married, one.
Yeah, for sure.
So like, one, how dare you?
Yeah.
But two, they don't really do anything in part 6. But then she is brought away. And I was like, oh, James Bond. Like she's not James Bond, but you know what? I was like, she's MI6 or something. Like,
she's some sort of secretive. She's spy. Op. She's a spy. Yeah,
and she's really. I like her character very much.
I do too.
She's just like
and I like her in nice episode lady. 7 too. She's just her aura is very positive, but you know we see at the end of episode 7 some shots of episode 8, and I don't know if she's. I don't know what her vibe is, you know?
I think she's a badass.
Yeah, I think she is a badass, but is it good or bad?
Good call. We don't know. Ooh, she... that'd be cool.
Yeah.
If she was a...
right.
If she was a... That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, episode 7. So, the 100th is doing bad. The
100th is doing terrible.
They lose 15 V-17s and 150 men die during a mission over Berlin. They keep just going on the same path and bombing Berlin, which is a bad plan.
Yeah. Until...
Until...
The Mustangs came into play.
Yeah, and I believe we are going to see in part 8 the Tuskegee Airmen. That's how they're being introduced to the show because they are flying the P-51 Mustangs, which the in-air shots in part 7, I know I was doing fun jokes earlier about how it's Master of the Ground. The in-air shots, for the most part, were cool in part 7, especially with the Mustangs. I will say there was some terrible CGI though.
Oh, I noticed that too in a couple of shots. Like the shot of them taxiing it out on the runway, I was like, ooh, oh.
No, I'm
and
talking
then the, when the in when the air. Bombs dropped. Yeah, when the bombs dropped on the world on Berlin.
Sure.
That shot did not look very good.
It was the part where the Mustangs were flying around the forts like mosquitoes.
Yes.
It looked bad enough where it pulled me out of the show completely.
I wonder if that is just like the, let's just get it through this episode and then we'll introduce them properly next episode.
Yeah, let's hope. That's why they made the CGI bad?
I mean, maybe. They're cost cutting, you know, like Netflix.
Jeez. Cheese and crepes. Okay, well. Captain Rosenthal is back, baby. Rosie's back. He did 25 missions. But he can't go home until it's done because the night of which he is being celebrated for being able to go home, they up the amount of missions you have to do before you can go home. And that's mean. Don't do that.
Yeah. Tisk, tisk.
So he's like, nah, I'm staying. But also he is placed in command of the 350th. So he doesn't have to go back up in a plane. He's in charge now.
Yeah, right. at least he's helping his boys, you know.
Of course. Captain Crosby then begins a relationship with the ATS officer Westgate.
Right.
And they get down. They down to clown. They down it. And
they sure do. What a no-no act.
What
there.
A no-no act.
Crosby, you married man, you.
No-no act. It's the first thing she said. Cool ring.
No-no act.
No-no, Mr. Crosby. What if your wife watches this show?
Yeah.
Anyway. Oh, by the way, I think sometime we're in part six. Did the side quest just end?
Yeah. So the end of that episode where we see them with the French people, you know, on the train, that pretty much was them saying they got to their destination. And because they came in on bikes and they said, oh, these guys made it. And those lucky bastards get to go home.
No, man, I think they just shoved that story under the rug. They were like, this was a mistake and don't even worry about it.
Yeah. Or yeah. I mean, yeah. Who knows?
Which like, I don't even like being happy because that's what I wanted. They gave me exactly what I wanted. They were like, you know what? This story, don't even worry about it, which is what I wanted. And then as it happened, I was like, what?
You son of a bitch.
Not that you took it from me, but this just feels like it feels like you looked me in the eyes and were like, yeah, take that. Idiot.
We know.
It's not even we know. It's just like, we think you're stupid.
We knew about this all along.
I mean, fine. Whatever. So
yeah, that just ended.
Yeah. We then go back to Major Clevin and the other prisoners of war. They built a crystal radio to be able Crazy. To tune into the BBC News. But that night, or a night down the road, a large group of British prisoners escape. And Clevin, Egan, and the other American officers are threatened that the camp will turn over to the SS and Gestapo if there are further escape attempts, which is what Egan and Clevin were talking about extensively about doing. The British folks, Andy Dufresne, out of the camp? They Shawshanked?
Yeah. And then they all got killed.
Yeah, bummer.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ruin the end of Shawshank Redemption for you. A mid-90s movie that if you saw or watched TBS for one day of your life ever, you've seen it.
Yeah, the whole thing. You've seen
everything. But I'll tell you, the fate of those Brits and Andy Dufresne is different. So, last two episodes that we've watched, 6 and 7, vibes.
Austin Butler's alive, you know. We were questioning that. Barry Keoghan is still dead.
He blew up.
Well, yes, you weren't questioning it because you looked ahead.
Yeah, I know the
you
answer.
Sneaky,
yeah.
You sneaky man.
How dare
but,
you?
But no, I am, despite the name of the show, I am very intrigued with this side of the story of these airmen who I mean, inevitably they get shot down, like they land behind enemy lines. Like, what happens? We never heard about that. So I'm okay with them explaining a little bit more in detail, like the whole journey of the pilot, not just them in the planes.
Yeah, I just think this show is suffering a little bit from the characters aren't as good as Band of Brothers. Like,
that's tough.
And Clevin, I think, is underdeveloped. So is Egan.
Yeah.
Rosenthal has been here for two episodes and he's as developed as they are.
Yeah.
The other guy, Captain Crosby, he's decently developed.
Yeah, we've seen him the most, it seems like.
Right. So and he's kind of becoming like a way more confident dude. So he actually has a character arc that is interesting. In fact, I'm willing to say he's the only interesting character in the show. And it's a show I like, by the way, but it needs to figure out, like, if it's going to spend a lot of part 8 on the Tuskegee Airmen, which they need to, they're on the poster and they haven't showed up yet.
Right.
I just think this show is suffering from being a little bit all over the place. Like, I did like in part 7 where it went back and forth between the University of Oxford and relaxation and counseling estate and a prison camp. Like, right. They did a lot of hard cuts that were like, oof, that's tough, which I think was actually pretty well done. It's a show that is written well. It's a show that is acted well. It is a show. I'm gonna take back written well. It's a show that's acted well, directed well, and the visuals have been really good right up until part 7, where those planes look bad.
I think parts of it are written well. Like,
yes.
But generally, yeah, you can definitely feel it's all over the place. Band of Brothers was so tight. It was such a tight script. It was such a tight story, and it's because it followed this one group of guys, and most of them survived. So they have the stories of it to kind of really marinate in their stories and lives and all that. So I think that there might be a little bit of that happening on. Also, I am wondering if the move from HBO to Apple had any, effect on the difference in that.
I
mean, it was still violent.
People
are
just shooting people in the street. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Seems fine.
It's fine.
But it does make me a little bit wish that The Pacific wasn't made a decade ago, and and that's what was happening with us right now. Like, I wish it was made the last few years, and the CGI budgets and the actors who we're seeing were in The Pacific, because I think that show is vastly underrated.
And I think so too. I got to rewatch it.
Yeah, as do I. But I think Masters of the Air is going to go down with, you almost hit the mark, but you just weren't quite there. But we'll see.
It's number three.
The last episodes out of the three.
Nah, it I is think number it, three.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it is.
Which is disappointing, but it has two more episodes. Again, though, part 8 is going to focus on characters we've never met before. I think the structure of the show is a bit misguided.
Yeah, it jumps. It jumps a lot. It feels like a chicken with its head cut off a little bit. And maybe that's intentional, because the whole experience of the 100th was incredibly chaotic, and I get that feeling for sure. So I mean, maybe that's intentional. That could be a deep dive, but I'm trying to pull at strings here.
Okay, I appreciate that. And if you want to pull at the HBO boys strings, you can join our Patreon, patreon.com/HBOBOIZ. It's $1 a month. You get these episodes earlier and ad free. You also get to join a private Discord where you get to talk with Adam about the Fallout video game mostly. So if you want to do
it, no.
yeah, that's it. But if you want to do those things, again, $1 a month, patreon.com/HBOBOIZ, and you get your name read at the end of the show, which Adam's going to do like right now.
Yes, please donate and I'll read your name. Any name that you like. You can tell me whatever your name is. I'll read it. And the current people who are telling me to read their names are Sunshine, Connor O'Dowd, Jamie Lochner, Adam Donging Ryan, Chris Wood, Brent Ginn, Craig, John Jewers, Major Woody, Butter Nichols, Susan, and Buffalo Pizzle. Thank you very much for your patronage and your subscriptions. We love that. And thank you, Sunshine and Brent Ginn, for being our $5 a month tier patrons. We also appreciate that. And should you increase your tier subscription, I will also give you a call out again. What's better than that?
Nothing.
Besides more content, which we give you every week, not just here on the Patreon or on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you're hearing us, but also on all of our socials at the HBO Boys or the HBO Boys Pod on Threads, Instagram, TikTok, all that good stuff. Like, comment, subscribe, share, whatever you do,
stuff. Those things. Adam's trying really hard.
Yeah, okay? It's not them. I'm not trying.
He's trying really hard. Okay.
But I've said this on the last episode. I've been on Threads a lot lately. There's a really cool podcasting community out there. So if anyone listens to this and is on Threads, hit me up there.
I won't be there. Anyway, okay. Have you seen Rebel Moon?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Zack Snyder this week, by the way, director's cut. Director's cut of Rebel this. Moon. It's like a million hours long, and it's rated R. So get ready.
Wow.
Get ready. Netflix said I had to make a PG-13 version that I hated, and I made another one, though, and you're going to see it, and you're going to love it.
Did you also know that Rebel Moon has more watchers than Barbie?
Yeah, that's how crazy. That's how crazy the Netflix distribution model is. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, sure, cool.
Nah. Barbie made like $1.7 billion.
Yeah, right. And although I wouldn't, he's probably not wrong. If you are like the number one thing on Netflix, you're in a lot of homes.
More people have seen you, but they haven't like ponied up to like watch you.
Yeah, you're
like,
not the reason
Barbie
they're
made
there.
Made money, right? Yeah, exactly.
They
right.
made people go to it. And Rebel Moon, right. If it was in theaters, I would never have watched it. And I'm honestly sad I did the first time.
Did you? You watched it?
I watched it.
What was your vibe, real quick?
This is bad.
Oh, good.
This is bad. Watch. Hey, I'm a character in Rebel Moon.
Okay.
I'm sad. The reason that I'm sad is because when I was young, my dad died protecting me. I now live every day in the shadow of that moment. And when I succeed, it will not be despite it. It will be because it's what made me the person that I am today.
It's beautiful.
And also, if as like while we're talking about it, I'm good at everything. Oh, and also, I am probably Jesus. Rebel Moon.
Yeah, catch Army of the Dead on Netflix.